Floating south. Christina Salerne designed a cluster of white forms sitting lightly on an olive grove on the small island of Paros in the South Aegean, as a villa for her family. Tom Boddy spoke to the architect. Sitting in a tranquil olive grove on the quiet west side of the Isle of Paros, Greece, is a strikingly modern but site-sensitive residence, designed by Christina Salerne, founder of London practice studio Salerne. It's composed of a cluster of disaggregated, dynamically linear white forms, aligned with the passage of the sun. Grouped around a stunning, cantilevering infinity pool which reaches out westwards and blends the view of the pool with the Aegean, the home's forms are oriented to take the full benefit of the sunset, particularly in the summer months. The building, which was completed in 2021, is not only a significant new residential project for the practice, it's also a second home to Christina Salerne and her family. The architect's carefully detailed design displays the deceptive simplicity and elegance which characterize many of her practice's works. Recent examples of similarly highly crafted residential schemes by Studio Salerne including a clutch of other high-end, horizontally planned homes on the neighboring island of Antiparos. Despite having 9 bedrooms, the building contains no corridors or hallways, instead circulation flows via the exterior spaces and various courtyards. It's built across 3 levels, but largely single-story. There's a small second level containing the master bedroom, and a lower ground housing 2 bedrooms and a bathroom. Its horizontal form combines floating slabs and materials commonly used locally, forming an intricate composition which celebrates materiality. When Christina Salerne and her Greek husband acquired the site, which had planning permission to build a home, it was a fully functioning olive grove, and is still harvested. "We knew we had inherited something quite strong," says Salerne. Greek laws have changed with regards to the setback requirements from the sea, however fortunately the granted permission allowed her to build within the old setback, thereby in a preferable spot. The site is a very windy place although benefiting from being right next to the sea, and boasting fantastic views of the surrounding islands and the Aegean itself. "The initial design response was all about dealing with the elements of the site," says the architect, adding that she didn't want to create a radical architectural masterpiece because that would feel out of context in terms of the unsport surroundings. While there were some set functional and program requirements, Salerne approached the project without having a pre-established aesthetic. She affirms that the project is representative of the highly context-sensitive approach that her practice prides itself on in its commissions. "We try to react to the places we build in. The architecture is informed by the culture of the site." She describes how, once that context is firmly embedded, the design process is like writing a book, the story can take you to places that you haven't imagined. Form. The building's assemblage of forms is not only determined by the Greek island's familiar vernacular architecture of thick-walled white boxes, designed to keep interiors cool in hot sun, but also by the site's existing landscape. The olive grove was planted in a grid formation, and therefore when deciding on the orientation, Salerne explains that it was a natural step to align ourselves to this grid, as well as following the sun. The building's strongly linear volume and deliberate orientation is centered around an east-west solar axis. The home's key components have all been designed to maximize enjoyment of the sunset, and frame views through glazing and open apertures. A lot of the design was really about capturing the beauty of the sunset, which included creating seating areas that would maximize the long views of the sea. Another key design imperative was to create a home that felt like it barely touched the ground, a structure that lightly floats, says Salerne. As a response to this, the villa is assembled of overlapping terrazzo slabs and platforms, with different areas and courtyards varying in level while overhanging from each other. "These compositional elements dematerialize things, and make the building appear weightless," says Salerne. While the freestanding, asymmetrical exterior walls appear somewhat randomly placed, although aligned with the solar axis, they have a vital purpose. The exposed, flat location at the edge of the island is vulnerable to the strong prevailing winds of the Meltemi, the name the Greeks and Turks use for the dry Aetesian wind blowing from north to northwest across the Aegean Sea. Therefore, the geometry of the walls but also the courtyards have been carefully planned to break up the wind, resulting in sheltered outside areas. Pool and pergola. The project's centerpiece is the striking negative edge pool, extending over the olive grove, and being the most eye-catching example of the floating theme. Salerne explains how the home's long, linear architecture was designed around the pool, and with it presenting 6 different edge conditions, she says, it was probably the most difficult thing to design in the house. Despite being a massive structure, it appears light, sitting above the landscape. Mirror-clad to reflect the Mediterranean sky, the pool blends into its surroundings, giving the effect of a further, floating slab. This allows the landscape to take precedence and occupy the whole site visually, says Salerne. In the evening, the pool becomes like a mirror itself, says Salerne. it turns orange at sunset, and bounces light onto the rest of the villa. Ensuring its pristine, minimalist lines remain uninterrupted, the technical aspects in the pool such as the water jets and returns have all been concealed. With the site's exposed location, the architects knew the wind would churn up the water's surface, however they had to build in a contingency to tackle this once it became clear exactly how it would perform. The solution was a system that enables the level of the water to be raised or lowered depending on wind speed and direction. These are the things that you can't design on paper, says Saylearn, you have to figure it out at the later stages. Continuing the linearity of the project, adjacent to the pool is a long bamboo roof pergola, a big element of the scheme, says Saylearn. Working alongside a specialist fabricator, the team looked to reimagine regular Greek pergolas, which are usually a wooden or steel structure, to again give a lightweight feel. Constructed using gum tree, the panels were fabricated and then hung underneath the structure, rather than above it. The whole thing feels like it's floating. This long, naturally covered shape is punctured by a single oculus which brings light into the poolside lounge, which made from chiseled marble, and acts a bit like a sundial, says Saylearn. She adds, it's fun, because it illuminates the space in a different way, every hour of the day. A little village. Rather than being one building, the various parts, facilitated by avoiding corridors in place of external circulation, are designed as standalone rooms, each with their own entrance. We wanted functions to flow between each other. Removing corridors means removing boundaries and barriers, says Saylearn. It's like a little village. With its main purpose a summer beach house, blurring outdoor and indoor was a key requirement. This extends to the various functions. The living room is the kitchen. The office is an extension of that. The largest volume, sitting behind the pergola, occupies two levels, containing a living space on the ground floor and a bedroom above, which has a terrace accessed via sliding doors. The other bedrooms all have their own courtyard as well as a view of the sea, and every courtyard has its own tree. Carrying on an old tradition, Saylearn put a cypress in one of the courtyards. The Greek landscape architect we worked with told me that when a boy is born, on the island of Andros, where my husband is originally from, a cypress tree would be planted. Integrating moments of nature within the project was crucial to the project's success in helping the building blend thoroughly with its surroundings. We wanted to feel as if the natural landscape was seated within the house itself. The concrete-formed outdoor levels are continually interrupted by planters or trees, thereby softening everything up wonderfully. In the morning, the family has breakfast by the fig tree, providing them with fresh figs. Materials. A large focus of the project was to use sustainable and local materials. To this end, Saylearn specified an aerated Eton concrete block reported to use about 30% less carbon than what you would usually use for a house. As well as acting as an insulator, it avoids the typical cavity requirements of residential designs. According to Saylearn, the project achieved a very low embodied carbon score due to the material choices. The terrazzo, marble, and other materials were all supplied through local suppliers and artisans. We tried as much as possible to go local to reduce the shipping. For example, the cladding and stone used in the courtyards are all from the island's quarry. Saylearn spent considerable time looking for clues in the history of the architecture of the island to inspire her design. What I discovered was that the many churches on the island use stone surrounds around the windows and entrances, making them feel a bit more special, explains the architect. The apertures within the structure are framed by a densely hammered Oliveri marble, which creates the illusion that the whole slab is carved out of the material. It was bush hammered to turn it a butter-like, soft whitish grey. She said that she wanted to try and emulate some of these historic architectural techniques to try and embed the project in its locality, with a strict focus on avoiding pastiche. Instead, it would be a reinterpretation of something that has existed for thousands of years, says Saylearn. A restrained palette. The project's minimalist design ethos and simple arrangement carries on inside. The interior uses a very limited palette of high-quality materials, white oiled oak, terrazzo, stone, and white render. Says Saylearn, if you work with great materials you don't need to over-design everything. Counters and benches feature sandblasted and chiseled stone. These details, or careful adjustments, say the architects, provide complexity without overloading the site, allowing the magic of the landscape to imbue the house with a unique energy which is the reason we build by the seaside. Much like the dexterous hiding of surfaces in the exterior, internally the technical aspects such as the air conditioning slots have been discreetly covered. I didn't want to see anything, it was all about keeping it simple. In the bedrooms, the beds sit centrally rather than against a wall, allowing space for a desk behind them. There's something very nice about being able to circulate around it, says Saylearn. The large, unadorned square windows appear like paintings, offering panoramic views of the local scenery. Ceylon is justifiably proud of the stunning holiday home she has created on this small island, one which enhances and respects its landscape. Responsible for some renowned concert hall designs, she finds the house similarly inspiring now, despite having spent a lot of time and effort on realizing it. When you arrive, it's like a symphonic moment.